Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gabor.io, and I'm here today with Larry Markowitz, the Financial Communication Advisor with National up in Montreal. Good evening, Larry. How you doing?
Very well. I'm calling you from cold Montreal up here north of the border.
You know, what's funny is people in the Bay Area think it's cold here, and it's probably 52 or 53 today.
I wish it were. It's below freezing here. Although above zero, still Fahrenheit.
Yes. Well, that's good. So to start with, can you share a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Yeah, I'm an advisor at National Public Relations, and we're the biggest public relations company in Canada. And we're part of what's called Avenir Global, which has offices throughout North America and in Europe and a couple in the Middle East even. I'm not sure if this is our logo or our slogan, but I'm going to say it anyhow. What I like to say is we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. So we do communications advisory work, whether it's in the context of a crisis or to help companies to become better known or help with their branding. We help with government relations. So that's, you know, a different kind of stakeholder you might talk to at the state legislature or our Canadian equivalent. Social media is a big area now. So we do communications and advise people in all those areas. In terms of myself, I'm a lawyer by training. I worked for a number of years in a couple of law firms doing business law. I'm still a lawyer. In fact, I was president of a local lawyers association here in Montreal a couple of years ago where we organize big events and also do some advocacy for human rights. In between being a lawyer in a law firm and doing the communications work, I was a bit more of an entrepreneur. I helped co-found a clean energy financing business, which was subsequently sold. I'm not driving a Ferrari or an electric Ferrari, so it wasn't as exciting as it sounds, but it was good. It's a viable business that we started up to help finance solar energy and that sort of thing. I've also been involved in real estate and other sorts of more entrepreneurial activities, some of which continue in my spare time, shall we say. So in brief, that's my life story.
In your spare time, it sounds like you've done quite a few things there. So you mentioned crisis management and crisis. So last I heard, there was a crisis going on in the world. So how did that affect your company in particular and possibly your clients?
Well, our company in particular, like many other companies and probably your company, we're working remotely, although I think your company works remotely anyhow, but yes, we're almost all working remotely at this point, meaning our IT people were quite busy last March, making sure we were all set up with VPN and all that sort of thing. And it necessitated a change of culture, both within our company and within our clients' companies, because you know, if you don't actually sit in the same room as your coworkers, you need to communicate with one another. You need to keep up that team spirit. And while it's not ideal, we rapidly instituted regular meetings. At first, it was every day. Maybe that's a bit much. But to this day, we have weekly meetings of the entire Montreal office, all, you know, 60 people or whatever number we are. We sometimes have meetings of the whole, you know, I described to you this worldwide holding company with offices. We sometimes have fireside chats with our CEO who tells us what's going on. So we keep everyone informed in that sense. But more generically, I mean, it happened to a lot of our clients. It's no different in Canada than the US than anywhere else. It's very important to be attentive if you're managing a team, to be attentive to their anxiety. This was especially true in March and April, but I suggest it's still true. People are worried they might lose their jobs, and you need to reassure them. And you need to, you know, communication is two ways. It's not just talking, it's also listening. And I think the listening function of a manager is more and more important. I like to say, you know, we have two ears and one mouth, so you should listen more than you talk, that old expression.
That is.
So that's something that I've found myself reminding clients quite often when we train them in communications.
Yeah, very good. So now that you've been through it, and one thing I said, you said, especially in March and April, and I think it's actually, you know, people are more anxious now because it opened up for a while. And actually, I just got an email an hour ago that San Mateo County is going into, you know, shelter in place again. So people were, it was starting to, and the vaccine was announced, and all of a sudden, boom, we're back into stay in place. So I think people are anxious again now.
Oh, certainly. And in fact, the same thing happened here in the province of Quebec, starting today's the 16th. It's actually starting tomorrow. Some people were going in offices in general. They were allowed to have up to 25%. Mm-hmm. Now that's down to zero, unless you absolutely have to be in an office. Maybe there's some kind of computer system one has to manage or something like that. So it's the exact same thing. And people are definitely, they have to continue, despite the vaccine, they have to continue to work remotely the way we're doing. So you have these concerns still. And then you have the schools shutting down, so people have to balance out their work hours. I suppose that we've learned a lot of lessons. You know, we have to be a lot more flexible. It's not a 9-to-5 job anymore. Sometimes people can't work from 9-to-5 because their kid is on the computer and they have to help their kid. So that's another thing that you have to show a little bit of empathy for your employees and accept that they may do their work after hours or early in the morning or whatever it is.
Whatever. Yeah. No, I have a sister and her husband. They have 3 kids all under the age of, you know, they're all in high school or younger. And that's 5 people sharing that internet connection every day. And it's a challenge. She tells me it's a challenge.
Well, I know I've upgraded my internet service. I don't know if it's a big difference, but it's, I have a more deluxe package now for more rapid signal passing. I'm using the wrong terms with an IT person here. More megabits per second, I think is how to say it. That's certainly something to be concerned with. And then, we've all learned new skills. We've learned how to do a Zoom call, how to do presentations online. I mean, right now, you and I are talking. I guess we could have done this before, but in the crisis, a lot of trends have accelerated. So maybe you wouldn't have thought of interviewing me across the continent before, but now it's totally normal. This is one of many calls I've done, thousands of miles apart, and it's totally normal. And not that I'm a professional TV guy, but I'm getting used to looking in the camera and making sure I have lighting that's appropriate in front of me and a nice background, and that my camera is at the right level of my eye level. This is other kinds of training we do for people who are communicating. Yeah. Media training, I guess you'd call it.
Yeah. I personally, I have actually a really nice bottle of wine behind me, but no one ever gets to see it because I change my background every week. So I just literally find pictures I like from the internet and I download them and put them up.
So that's not a picture from the Bay Area there.
That is not from the Bay Area. I'm pretty sure that's from either Pakistan or India. I'm not quite sure which one. Maybe Bangladesh too. I'm not quite sure.
That region was my second choice. Yes. Very nice.
Yeah, no, I actually have had pictures from my neighborhood that people have posted on Nextdoor. And people try to guess where it is. And I say, yeah, it's like a mile from here.
Well, that's another thing you're calling Nextdoor. There's a website or a Twitter account called Room Raider where you could actually learn from that. Look it up. It's something like Rate My Room or Room Raider. And they rate out of 10 what people's Zoom backgrounds are like. So I have a painting here and some books. Those are 2 good things. Ideally, I would need a plant according to this website. But I have some plants, but they're not nearby. I guess I should move one of them to get a 10 out of 10.
I would actually have to buy a plant. So.
I'll stick with the temple.
Yeah, I think so. So we've talked about remote employment, and how it all of a sudden became this huge thing, 9 months ago. It was actually 9 months ago to the day. It was March 16th. What do you think is the future of remote employment, worldwide and for national?
Well, I think I've noticed that I've been working more with people from the other offices in our company. So definitely, you start realizing that boundaries don't matter. Here I am talking to you across the continent. I'm part of an international lawyers group that I've been part of for many years where I've gone to their conferences. They've gone online. And all of a sudden, I've given several presentations on crisis communications and that sort of topic. restructuring, cyber communications, all sorts of things to an audience that was, I can think of one where they were in both in Europe and South America and North America. Mm-hmm. You know, we never would have thought of these possibilities. I think in general, and you see this in your business, you could hire people who are wherever. Maybe it doesn't matter anymore where somebody is.
Right.
I mean, ultimately, you'll want to meet them. I think to really build a team culture, it's good to mm-hmm. at least a few times a year meet your coworkers. But that could be, let's say you were to hire me. I don't think I have any skills you need. But let's say your IT company hired me. I would fly into the Bay Area 3-4 times a year. And the rest of the year, I could stay in Montreal and work on the computer.
Yeah.
Why do I have to be down the hall from you all the time?
That's true. You could come here during your winter where it's a little bit warmer here.
Well, that's what I would do. Yeah. And before we were talking that you have a few hockey rinks there, so I'd be right at home.
Yeah, there we go. And then I could fly there. I know you have a beautiful city. I would fly there in your summer.
Yeah, July is a good time. Jazz festival, comedy festival. I highly recommend it.
Yes, that's true.
Not this past year, but although even the comedy festival went online, so did the jazz festival. They started live streaming concerts. Everything's changing. The model, you know, it's a time to be creative and think outside the box. How do you go online? How do you do? There have been a few conferences out of our conference center here where this is a huge convention center where they actually had in-person conferences with everyone being more than 6 feet apart. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, they streamed it on video so you could have thousands of people watching. It's not the most ideal use of a huge conference center, but they did use it, and it was a whole new format for these conferences to keep them interactive and actually invite people from all over the world to a Montreal-based conference.
Oh, that's really cool. And you do see more and more of that. I think people are, I think people still want that, you know, one-on-one. They don't want to just be home alone all day working. They like this. So I think we've adapted, and I think it'll be interesting to see what happens, you know, once the stay in place orders are lifted. My gut feeling is it's going to be a hybrid model where people are going to have the option of when to go into the office.
I think so. And I think it'll have repercussions for real estate. Mm-hmm. It might sort of even out because now there's so many square feet per employee. Mm-hmm. They're going to need more square feet. Another pandemic could hit, or who knows what'll happen, and people are maybe going to be more uncomfortable being right on top of each other.
Yeah.
But if you're working at home, you could have more of a hoteling type of model where instead of having a permanent desk, as I do in my office, which is very close to where I live, but I haven't been there in months, you know, maybe it'll be like I'll come in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday and plug in my laptop into a docking station and then leave, and you know, they could save on rent and have less space. And maybe I'll only come in for, you know, weekly meetings and a cocktail party on Friday afternoon.
Yeah.
And the actual work I'll do at home.
Yeah, no, I could see that. So one of the things you mentioned was cybersecurity, and that's kind of like, you know, what effect? I mean, I gotta believe there's a huge cybersecurity issue that has come out of the COVID virus. Is that true?
That's been my observation. I mean, people in Silicon Valley may have more data on this, but anecdotally, especially in the last couple of months, I've been called to ask to work on a lot of crises involving cyber attacks. There's a lot of ransomware attacks and this sort of thing. Now, we would work with, usually we'd be hired by the law firm that deals with this because there are legal issues in terms of disclosing any breach of private data. Depends what country you're in, but each country and each jurisdiction has its own rules. Then we work with the IT people. Of course, they're necessary to reconstitute whatever was scrambled. And again, that's not the right word, but exfiltrate is one word. They take the personal data and put it on the dark web and all this type of stuff. But around all of this, again, there's anxiety. People are going to learn that their data has been stolen. Maybe they can't do their projects. Maybe the whole company can't work. You're going to have to communicate with different stakeholders, certainly with your employees. Your employees, you know, suddenly their email doesn't work. You better give them a good excuse, and you can't make up stories. You have to have you don't have to tell every little detail because sometimes there are secrets of you know, the code words and the passwords and whether you paid the ransom or not. Sometimes your insurance company won't even let you talk about that. But the general idea that we have been hit by a cyber attack, we are working hard to solve the problem. You know, people need to hear that, whether it's your clients or your employees or whoever it is that's dealing with you. And you can't be silent about it, because silence, you know, if you don't talk, there's a vacuum and that gets filled by rumors. And yep. those rumors could make your company go out of business. On the other hand, if you're transparent and responsible in how you communicate and how you say, look, we're working on it, you give regular updates, it could take a few weeks to solve these problems. If you do it in a responsible way, in the end, your brand of your company might actually get better because you did your best. You know, so many companies get hit by cyber attacks. But if you admit that, yes, we are attacked, we're learning lessons, we're installing even better defenses going forward, people will respect that. It's very good for your employer branding. You know, although there's unemployment because of COVID, the fact is we're going to go back to close to full employment eventually. Yes. And you're going to be competing to hire those employees. You want to have a good employer brand to be able to hire the best employees. So all this reputation management in a communications exercise flows into that.
Wow, that's fascinating. Well, Larry, I want to thank you for your time today. It's been great talking to you. And as we talked earlier, looking forward to the NHL season getting underway, right?
I can't wait. I think there may be a Canadian division and a U.S. division. So yeah. The rivalry between Montreal and Toronto is going to be extra strong this year. But I'd like to see, you know, the Penguins and San Jose and everyone else. But maybe in the when, you know, when the Canadians make the finals, they'll have to play an American team. So
yes,
let's hope for that.
let's hope for a Sharks or a Sabres.
Canadian, yes, you're a Sabres fan, you mentioned. Yeah, that's so, what I'm hoping for.
Yes, that would be great. Yeah, because actually the Sabres and the Canadians can really never, other than through a pandemic, could never play each other in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Exactly. So actually, that's an exception. So your dream of having your Sabres play the Canadians in the Stanley Cup Final may come true. We have to always look at the positive out of this crisis.
There we go. we'll talk in 6 months when it's all done.
Okay.
All right, we just got to get past those lightning.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Very.
All right. Well, Larry, I'll let you get on with your night, and thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Right, bye.